John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3:16. Acts 16:31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Acts 16:31. Proverbs 30:5, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him." Proverbs 30:5. Proverbs 18:10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe." Proverbs 18:10. Deuteronomy 31:8, "The Lord goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Deuteronomy 31:8. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Jonah chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Jonah chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study this evening. All of you are aware of the fact that we've been studying the book of Jonah now for several weeks. We are in the fourth chapter. We'll be looking at verses 5 and 6 this evening. We're coming to a close in the next few sessions with this magnificent book, the book of Jonah. We've received information today, text messages, in relationship to the announcement that we're going to be dealing with the subject of the Holy Spirit in coming sessions after we consummate our study with the book of Jonah. And so one particular person responded beautifully, saying that they were looking forward to the study in coming weeks on the subject of the Holy Spirit. Most of you are aware of the fact that the study of the Holy Spirit has a lot of facets. For instance, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit, restoration to fellowship. There are just so many different facets in relationship to that magnificent subject. And we'll be looking at a number of those in coming weeks after we finish our study in Jonah. May we pray together, please. Tonight, Father, we're thankful again for the fact that we are members of the royal family, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home, not based upon anything that we have done, but totally based upon the gift of God through Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation to mankind. We're thankful indeed for the fact that we have the assurance that all of us who have had loved ones to leave this life as believers in Jesus Christ, they're absent from us and they're at home with our wonderful Savior. And we're thankful for that. And we realize that there will be a day when we too shall depart from this life, either by means of the rapture or by means of physical death, and we'll be absent from this body and at home with our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we're thankful tonight for the gift of salvation. We're thankful also for the gift of life, the privilege of studying your word on a day-by-day basis. And we're thankful for the provisions of life, the logistical provisions you give to us every single day. We're the recipients of your matchless grace in so many different areas. And we bow today again to express our thanks for your continual blessings upon our lives. We pray that these moments now of study will be a blessing to all of us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to ask you to turn to the book of Jonah, chapter 4. We're going to read the entire chapter, 11 verses. "But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, 'Please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity.'" Chapter 4, verse 3. "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life." And the Lord said, "Do you have good reason to be angry?" Then Jonah went out from the city sat east of it. There he made a shelter, a lean-to, a hut for himself, and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. So the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew up over Jonah to be a shade over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. But God appointed a worm when dawn came the next day, and it attacked the plant, and it withered. And it came about when the sun came up that God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, "Death is better to me than life." Verse 9 of chapter 4 of Jonah, "Then God said to Jonah, 'Do you have good reason to be angry about the plant?' He said, 'I have good reason to be angry, even to death.' Then the Lord said, 'You had compassion on the plant for which you did not work, and which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight.'" Verse 11, "And should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 children, persons, who do not know the difference between their right and left hand, as well as many cattle?" Tonight we're dealing with the subject, God deals personally with us. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that that is a magnificent statement. God deals personally with us. Over these last few days, it's been my privilege to share the good news, the gospel, with other individuals. We have been able to see some magnificent results, I believe, coming as a result of the proclamation of the communication of the Word of God in the presentation of the gospel of salvation. Today, in having my car filled with gas, I handed a coin to a man, and he took that coin, looked at it, stood there and looked at it for a while. On one side it says, "Where will you spend eternity?" On the other side it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." He stood there and looked at that for a little while. Then he looked at me. He looked back down at the coin and he said, and this is interesting, he said, "Many times I've received tracts, I've received information, paper, but this is the first time I've received one like this. And I want you to know that I'm going to take this one and put it into my billfold, and I will keep it with me." God deals with us personally. And I was of the opinion at that particular point that God was dealing with he and I at the very same time. I want you to understand that when you look at the fourth chapter of the book of Jonah, you'll see that the very first verse says, "It greatly displeased Jonah when the people responded in Nineveh to the proclamation of the message of Jonah." And it's interesting to see his response. He became angry. He prayed to the Lord, verse 2, and said, "Please, Lord, was not this what I had said while I was still in my own country?" And what I find there is a lot of personal pronouns. Here we find Jonah, who was very displeased that the Lord had brought about such a tremendous blessing to the people in Nineveh. And he said, "Please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious and compassionate God." And we've already emphasized this, but I wanted you to see again the personal pronouns that are found in verse 2. We find where he said, "I said," "I was," "I fled," and then he says, "I knew." It's always an emphasis here upon a person who is not properly related to the Lord is emphasizing the personal pronoun. Look at verse 3. "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life." I'll not recapitulate all the things I've said in past days, but let me just review. "And the Lord said, 'Do you have good reason to be angry We've dealt with the subject of anger over the last few sessions. Verse 5 is where we are now. If you will look at your scripture, and then follow me as I present the information. I've written myself a little note here. Verse 5, read. And so I'm going to have to obey myself, so let's read. Then Jonah went out from the city and sat east of it. There he made a shelter, a hut, I have said perhaps a lean-to, for himself, and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. What we have here is that Jonah persists here in his discontent. While out of humor, he went out of the city to wait for God to bring the downfall of the city. I'm sure that most of you are aware of the fact of what's been going on. I don't need to repeat that, but we want to see where we are at this very moment. We can certainly believe that the people who accept the message also accept the messenger and desire to be gracious and kind to him. What is so unique as you study the book of Jonah and come to this point in Jonah's life, we discover that he now, after seeing what had transpired in Nineveh, when all these people responded so beautifully to the message, and he must have realized that they would respond properly to the messenger, but he will not accept their kindness. Notice, if you will, I put this in capital letters for you to be able to see. So he sits alone. He sits in silence. And I want to stop right there to show you what happens to a person who can be in harmony and fellowship with the Lord one moment and be out of fellowship, not right with God, the next moment. Some people are of the opinion that if you are in harmony with the Lord, it's going to be lasting. You're going to stay in harmony for days. But I am here to remind you tonight, it's possible for you to be in right relationship with Jesus Christ one moment, and then, because of your obedience to your old sinful nature, you can the next moment be out of fellowship and not in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we discover that Jonah was preaching the great message to the people in Nineveh. And they responded. And what did he do? He went outside the city. And you'll notice that he was, again, pouting. He was discontented. And he will not accept their kindness. He sits alone. He sits in silence. The 40 days expiring, or had just expired, and Jonah hoped that if Nineveh was not overthrown, there would still be some expression of judgment sufficient to save his credit. Now, you'll have to really pay attention to that to see what I'm trying to say. God deals personally with us. God was dealing personally with Jonah. Now, notice, if you will, because we've already emphasized this, those who have uneasy spirits create for themselves, oftentimes, uneasy inconveniences. You remember we have said that as we study each chapter, before we begin the chapter, we present principles. And there are so many principles for chapter 1. And then when we get to the end of chapter 1, we present those same principles. Now, I'm aware of the fact that if I came and sat by you and asked you these principles, all of you would be able to answer it. So I'm very proud of you. I want you to know that I am very extremely proud that you remember all these things. That just lets you know what a great preacher I am, but it also lets you know what a great student you are. Now, if you are aware of the fact that I am not being serious, I am not being serious. I want you to know that that is facetious. I am aware of the fact that probably you cannot name all the points after chapter 1. You cannot name all the points after chapter 2, all the points after chapter 3. And I presented the points of chapter 4 at the beginning, and we'll do it at the end. And I promise you, you probably don't remember all of those. I'm not being ugly to you. I'm just telling you that I really don't either unless I go back and look at my points. So I want you to see that one of the points that I have is right here. Those who have uneasy spirits create for themselves, oftentimes, uneasy inconveniences. And the other day when I referred to this, I gave you a little expounding information about it. If a person has, as a believer, an uneasy spirit, in other words, they travel along in life and then all of a sudden they find themselves not properly related to the Lord Jesus Christ, not in harmony with the Lord, not cleansed of sin, not filled with the Spirit, not saturated with the Word of God, even if they've been studying for years and now they're out of harmony and out of fellowship and they've been on the wrong track, and so they have what we classify as uneasy spirits. What do? They create for themselves uneasy inconveniences. As a result of a person being out of fellowship, they will make bad decisions. And when they make bad decisions out of fellowship, they will create for themselves increasingly more inconveniences in life. I trust that you understand what I'm saying. I'm moving on now. Lest the house fall upon his head, he makes for himself, Jonah now makes for himself, a booth, a hut. I don't know just exactly how this is, but I'm going to call it a lean-to. Do you understand what a lean-to is? Okay, let's call it a booth or a hut. He makes this booth out of branches of the trees. And so what happens here is these branches are going to be somewhat of a convenience for him in relationship to the winds, in relationship to rains. And what I put down here is bad decisions always expose the person to the worst of circumstances. Jonah is now in a huff and he's pouting. Do you get the feeling of what he's doing? Jonah did not believe that Nineveh would stick by their decisions. He still believes that the judgment of God would fall on them. Now, if you'll notice, I repeat again, verse 5 says, he went out of the city. He sat on the east side of the city and there made a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would come of the city. Now you see what he's thinking? He says, I'm going to go out of the city. I'm going to fix me up a little lean-to. I'm going to fix me up something that will be convenient. And then I'm going to wait and see what God does to that city. Now, verse 6. And the Lord prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah that it might shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. Now, many theologians will let you know that this is not all that important. I'm of the opinion that it is very important. So I want you to see what the scripture here says. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. What do we see here? Jonah now is sitting in his booth. He's fretting at the cold of the night and the heat of the day. Jonah created his own problem. But I see something here, and that is God is still a concerned heavenly Father. You and I must be able to see something here, that even though Jonah is not properly related to God at this point, he's gone out of the city. He's in a huff. He's discontented. And there he says, man, I tell you what, it would just be great if I could just die. But I noticed something. God could have said, Jonah, it's your own choice. It's your own doing. Make the best of it. I can just hear some of you. I notice you're very quiet when I say that, because what would you do in a situation like this? Would you do what God did? God is a gracious heavenly Father. God could have said, it's your own choice, your own doing. Make the best of it. But God did not do that. The scripture reveals that God prepared this gourd, a plant with broad leaves full of them, that suddenly grew up and covered his hut or booth so as to keep much of the injury of the cold and the heat. When I got to this point, I couldn't help but say, I need to remind people whom I love so dearly, the gourd was prepared, because that's what it says. If you'll notice, it says, he prepared a gourd, a plant with broad leaves, full of them, that suddenly grew up, covered the hut, the lean-to, the booth, so as to keep off much of the injury of the cold and heat. And I put down note, the gourd was prepared, just like God prepared the fish. Remember? And then I got to thinking some more about you folk, and I realized that I needed to write me another note. So I wrote myself another note. Again, I said, a shadow over his head to deliver him from some of his grief. But Jonah is foolish, and Jonah is forward, yet God cares. If you remember, we started the message by saying God deals with us personally. What I'm trying to let you see here, that Jonah is foolish, and Jonah is forward, yet God still cares. Then in capital letters I put, God prepared the fish to protect him from the injury of the water. And God prepared the great gourd to protect him from the injuries of the cutting winds and blistering sun. Can you just remember this for the rest of your life and see how God does deal with us personally? And then I said, please remember, God is in charge. He can use little creatures, or he can use great plagues like flies and lice, where, if you remember, to Pharaoh, he can put a gourd in the right place and at the right time for protection, as to Jonah. The verse tells us that, and notice please, Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. If you're not careful, you're going to miss this. Was he exceedingly glad over the fact that so many people in Nineveh had turned in a right direction toward God? It says here, Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. Jonah had a great imagination. He became so enamored by that little green gourd. He was proud of it. He was glad for it. He viewed it in delight. Now remember, he's of the opinion that he has no real friends. He does not like the Ninevites. He does not care to visit with anyone in the city. That's the reason why he came out of the city, and that's why he is where he is at this moment. So he got all carried away with a little plant. Now let's make the application. Insecure, unstable people will allow a trifle that crosses to knock them down. Insecure and unstable people will allow something little that crosses them to knock them down. But they're apt to be lifted up by a trifle that pleases them. Now, I could say that about 5 or 6 times, and I believe it would soak in. I want you to see. If a person is insecure and unstable, they will allow something little to knock them down. But they're also the type of individuals who can allow some little thing to make their day, instead of God and God's Word making our day. Always remember, creature comforts, earthly comforts, material comforts, however large or small, are not lasting. Are you with me? Do you see that? Creature comforts, earthly comforts, material comforts, however large or small, are not lasting. Let's enjoy them. And let's be thankful for them, but not exceedingly glad. Because it is our Lord alone who makes us exceedingly glad. Are you all following me? Are you all seeing what I'm trying to get over? That God deals with us personally. You may have wondered if God really knew about you. If God even understood your heartbeat and the trials and tests and difficulties and burdens that come your way. Have you ever wondered if God was really concerned about you personally? As a person, does God really care? Let's enjoy the things that God does for us, but not exceedingly glad. Because it is our Lord alone who makes us exceedingly glad. When we put our trust and our confidence in creature comforts, earthly things, those things will vanish. And notice, God prepared the fish. God prepared the gourd and the worm, just as miraculous as the fish. Now, I don't know whether you folks are ready for this or not. But oftentimes when I study, most of you are aware that I deal with the original language. And I deal with words from the Hebrew and from the Greek. And I want to present to you in closing tonight some Greek words about the subject of anger. There are three kinds of anger mentioned in the Bible and confirmed by observation and experience. The first of the two words are found in Ephesians 4:31-32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. And then verse 32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. What I'd like to do is to ask you, if you will, please, to look at Ephesians 4:31. Let me read that verse and then go to verse 32. The Apostle Paul is writing to Ephesian believers and he says, get rid of bitterness. When we're talking about Jonah and his bitterness, his anger. Here the Apostle Paul is saying, get rid of bitterness. Get rid of rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Now let me stop you for just a few moments and let you see the Greek words that are used here. Get rid of all bitterness. And then the word rage is the Greek word thumos. T-H-U-M-O-S. I've written it out, transliterated from the Greek to the English so you could have it. T-H-U-M-O-S. Then the next word is anger, rage, and then anger. And the word there is O-R-G-E. Then in that same verse, it talks about brawling and slander along with every form of malice. Then when you go into verse 32, it says, be kind to one and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Now let's look at this briefly. The first word is thumos, T-H-U-M-O-S, which means a turbulent motion, commotion, an explosion of temper or rage. This is the pit bull kind of anger. It's the rage that destroys, the rage that abuses, perhaps more emotional than the word orge. The second word that I want to show you is that word, O-R-G-E, which means a long-lasting attitude that continues to seek revenge. You might want to write some of this down and look at it later. The second word is O-R-G-E, which means a long-lasting attitude that continues to seek revenge. It could also be defined as resentment. This kind of anger reminds us of the cobra, which carries out its schemes with cunning, methodical, devious, emotionless planning. I thought I'd give you an illustration. It's the kind of anger and the kind of abuse and the kind of deception and blame without a twinge of conscience. What distinguishes it from thumos, the pit bull anger, is that O-R-G-E is usually not out of control. In fact, the person with this kind of anger takes pride in his ability to remain calm and collected as his schemes are carried out. You see that? Some people can be extremely angry and yet calm and collected as they carry out their devious thoughts. For instance, it's the kind of person who will clean his gun in the presence of his wife just to remind her of what could happen were she to defy him. I thought I'd give a little silly illustration there. Some of you didn't get it. Some of you got it and didn't want it. Number three. The third Greek word for anger is anagastistos. It's hard for me to even pronounce. It's found in 2 Corinthians 7:11. It's the word that is to be translated indignation. It is the kind of indignation that usually brings about appropriate behavior. Of course, there is not a neat division between these kinds of anger in real life. Notice, please, some abusers might act like a pit bull one day, a cobra the next, and be appropriately indignant the day after that. In any case, the person who is filled with rage might be charming or intimidating or cunning, and maybe all three at the same time. Interesting, in the Old Testament, there's a Hebrew word, most often translated anger, which means nostrils, which I thought was quite interesting from the Hebrew language. This is the word, picture of someone whose nostrils are flared or snorting with anger. We sometimes speak of someone who is hot under the collar. Have you ever heard that expression? Why, he was just hot under the collar. That is, someone whose blood vessels are inflamed because of anger. This word, picture of someone whose nostrils are flared, snorting with anger. I really don't know just exactly how all of these words can be applied to Jonah, but let me read it again. It greatly displeased Jonah, and he was angry. You think about those three words I've given you. And he prayed, isn't that interesting, to God, please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Can you see what he's doing here? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life. Look at that fellow. See what condition he's come to a point in. And the Lord said, do you have a good reason to be angry? Do you have a good reason to be thumos or gay? Do you have a good reason to be upset? Then Jonah went out from the city, sat east of it. There he made a shelter for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what was going to happen to the city. So the Lord appointed a plant. It grew up over Jonah to be a shade over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. a God of compassion, a God of love, a God who understands, a God who deals with us personally. And Jonah was extremely happy. What was he happy about? He was happy about the plant. He was happy about the plant. Can you see that? Then Jonah went out from the city, sat east of it, made a shelter, sat under it. He was going to see what was going to happen. And Jonah was extremely, the last part of verse 6, extremely happy about the plant. But God appointed a worm. When dawn came the next day, it attacked the plant. Plant withered. It came about when the sun came up that God appointed a scorching wind. And the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all of his soul to die, saying, "Death is better to me than life." And we'll be studying verse 8 the next session. You folks listened so well. Thank you. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Tonight, Father, we're thankful for the challenge of your wonderful word. We realize that when we study scriptures like this, it causes us to realize that we too have responsibility. And we are responsible for being properly related to our Savior Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the fact that you have given us this book of Jonah that reveals so much about this individual's ups and downs in life. And yet we are aware of the fact that just because we have this magnificent book, it reveals to us the fact that God did work a miracle in his life, and God used him, and he is continuing to use him even now as we spend time studying these magnificent verses. We're thankful that you deal with us personally. We realize that as we come to the close of this service tonight, there may be someone listening on the internet who yet has never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We believe that you're dealing with them personally this evening, and they are aware of the fact that their greatest need is to be a member of your family, be born into your kingdom. And they must understand that Jesus is the only way of salvation. Because he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me." Help those individuals to be able to see that at this very moment, salvation could be theirs if they'll only believe. Because the Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." Didn't say hope so, didn't say maybe so, didn't say you wouldn't know till you die. No, it doesn't say that. It says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." We pray that there will be those even now who will do just that. They will accept you as their personal Lord and Savior. And we thank you over and over again for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lead us, much we need thy thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessing Jesus, thou hast bought us thine. Blessed Jesus.